Morning, everyone, and welcome. Good to be together this morning and worshipping the Lord. Just having another go this week at video recording, so that's just happening down here. So that's just in this sort of vision here, okay, just to reassure you that, so if you're up here, you'll get recorded, but not out there, okay? So welcome to those who are here this morning and those who will listen or watch at a different time. We're glad that we're able to share together in this way. We pray. Loving God, you've always led your people to places where they hear your voice. So please speak, Lord, and help us to listen this day. Loving God, often you ask nothing of us but faith and openness to you. Help us to follow you this day in trust. Lord Jesus, you came that we could live in friendship and fellowship with you as our Lord and Saviour. So be near us, Lord, and help us as we share in this day. In the name of Christ, amen. Psalm 103, a part of it says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 145 says, The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. Our first song this morning picks up on those kind of things of the goodness of God across our life and of God's mercy lasting and lasting and lasting. This song may be new to many of you. I'm not sure. I want to say thanks to Rosemary and Jenny for running with this morning session. And so please join in as you're able to. It's called The Goodness of God, and some of you would have sung it in various places around the life of the church, but I invite you to join in as you are able to. And we'll stand to sing.
From the
Please be seated. There's some other parts of that song. It leads into a bridge and some other things, but that's an excellent start for us this week, and we'll continue to do that. And we heard that on the organ. It's all choir from piano and other instruments, but the organ just fills out. There's a few pauses in there, and the organ just fills that some of those pauses out. The goodness of God. We continue in reading Psalm 121, and if I had my Bible, that would be great. So this is Good News Edition, so for those of you who have been saying this psalm across a lifetime, some of these words will be a little different. I looked in the mountains, where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord, the Maker. He will not let you fall. Your protector is always awake. The protector of Israel never sleeps. The Lord will guard you. He is by your side to protect you. The sun will not hurt you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep you safe. He will protect your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We pray. Lord, we echo the words of the psalmist. In knowing that in you is our help. Lord, we look for help from many places across life, across this world, only to discover that ultimately in you is all that we need. In you is our help. In you is our refuge. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all that you have done for us. For all that you have done for us in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour. We thank you for his ministry of love, for his life and death and resurrection. For the confidence that we can have in coming to you and acknowledging who we are. O Lord, for all the times that we fail to listen to your voice, to your call, for the faith that we lack and the blessings we ignore or refuse at times. For all the pain that we cause others in a variety of ways. We are sorry, O Lord. Please have mercy on us and forgive us. Knowing that you are a God who loves us and has mercy on us, who knows our hearts and calls us to new beginnings, we celebrate your forgiveness today, for we know that in and through Christ that you reassure us again and again through the scriptures that in him we are forgiven and we are able to say, thanks be to God. Amen. As a renewed and forgiven people, we're able to share in the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby.
I like to do that sometimes.
today for our announcements, I would like to start by welcoming Val and Lyle, and it's lovely to see you both in church again, and lovely that your daughter's down again. She must be a frequent flyer by now to go first class anywhere in the world, I would think. Welcome, Jenny. We're so glad to see both of you here today, and pass on wishes, prayers to your family on the passing of your dad. We are working through the period of...
Could you please speak up or put the mic
down?
I can't hear you at all.
We are now... Do you want me to start again? No. We are now in the period of Lent, and our Lent at the moment, last week we talked about temptation. This week we're talking about light. And if you look up here, can I do a little whizzy thing? No. Marion has up here putting the three celebrations of Lent that we are looking at. So they are also in your order of service. So light this week and water next week. Lent event envelopes are at the back. Reflections is available, and it has some information on Lent as well. David has written a letter. That was also emailed with the news sheet. It was emailed on Thursday. There are paper copies, and it talks about the Refreshed Shop. There is also an article in Refreshed about some of the background to what we're looking at with Refreshed. And Jenny has a lovely report, as always, in Refresh. David is at one table for coffee and chat. The World Day of Prayer Service is on Friday the 6th. And Rosemary is suggesting we carpool because... parking in that area is very tight considering it's near two major high schools. So let her know and they'll leave here at 8:45. Pardon? If you can drive, let her know as well. Women's Fellowship is coming up next week, week after, as is the men's lunch. Cool and Classic is just 2 weeks away. Please, if you could...
One week.
I've had horrible... Just ask Dawn and Andrew. No, David. I have had a horrible week remembering things, and Robert's getting a tad worried, I think. Told you.
It's two Sundays please. Away. We'll go with the two Sundays. It's
This Sunday and it's next Sunday. Thank you, Dave. That'll work for me. It won't work for Dawn, though. Next week, please, if you can help, down the back. no, I don't think you've got me out, David. Is the list, if you can help. So, please, we already have 90 tickets pre-sold, which is pretty good. Dawn's worried that food... Oh, don't worry about food, Dawn. Please. Artburst, just so you're knowing, it is coming up late August, so this is just to let you know it's coming. On Friday, we met the feature artist who is a potter this time, and she is being supported by donor Marion and Jenny Fisher, who... has connections. I'm not going to say. She's the wife of the minister at Brisbane West. Jenny is an artist in her own right, and she is joining and very much looking forward to being part of Artburst. And I think we're up to our community, David.
Thanks, Wendy. Just three things for me. One is Wendy mentioned... Is that part of my song? No. Okay. about the letter I sent out. I encourage you to read that alongside the article by Jenny and Refreshed as well, which kind of fills out the story a bit more, and our ongoing support for that. As Wendy also mentioned, this afternoon at 2 o'clock is a memorial service for David Locke, and that will be happening here from 2 o'clock. And again, for Jenny and your family, we are very conscious of that today, and we'll share a little bit later in that time. Also, Coralie heads off to New Zealand for a week next Saturday. And as we normally do, it's good to be able to share a prayer for people who are heading off in a variety of ways. So now, Coralie, do you just want to sit there or do you want to come here as I pray, or what would you like to do? Let's pray. Lord our God, as we shared last week for Andrew and his trip to Sri Lanka, we pause to remember him and pray for him as that trip begins. But we also pause at this time to pray for Coralie, who gets to go to New Zealand and explore an extraordinary part of your world and has some time there. We pray for your blessing upon her as she heads off and all the practical things that need to come together this week before Saturday, but indeed as she arrives there, maybe that a time of refreshment and enjoyment of your world. And we look forward to her return in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Wendy, it may be that did you happen to pick up my order of service as well? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did that too.
Is there any other news that we need to share of our life together? Okay, thanks,
sorry.
Andrew. Is there any anniversaries? The second week of the Lent event. Last week we had a video that began that, so just a few brief things about Lent event for week two, which focuses on Vanuatu, and some of the material that they supply starts by looking at just reminding as Australia that we're very aware of disasters that happen, fire, flood, all sorts of things, that we're very aware of that. And for the second week of the Lent event, it turns to our near neighbours in Vanuatu and some of the other countries nearby that where disasters happen more often and hit harder. And I'm just reading from the notes that they give for this. People have far fewer resources to prepare, respond or rebuild. Uniting World's partner, the Presbyterian Church in Vanuatu, has congregations across the nation. Disaster preparedness workshops reached 1,300 people on Tanner Island, so people were ready. And when a cyclone threatened, church leaders sent early warnings and communities acted immediately. Their response saved lives and homes. Every dollar used to help prepare before a disaster hits can save up to $7 in recovery costs. Uniting World has been supporting disaster preparedness and chaplaincy training for more than a decade across the Pacific, Asia and Africa. And Uniting World and their partners say thank you for helping save lives. And that's the focus for week two of Lent event, we pray. Lord our God, we are thankful for the projects that Uniting World supports, and we pray particularly for Vanuatu and for the preparedness that happens in all kinds of ways when disaster strikes their area. We thank you for the Presbyterian Church of Vanuatu assistance and the spiritual assistance that they bring to many people there. Continue to bless their work in the ministry they share. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing "The Great Love of God is Revealed in the Son," and then we hear the gospel reading for today. And as we get to the gospel reading, there'll be opportunity just to reflect on your first recollection of John 3:16. And for some of you, you've known that verse for many, many years. When was it that you first learnt it and were aware of it? I'll just be
inviting some comments for that. We stand to sing. From John chapter 3.
The gospel reading today is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I'm telling you the truth," replied Jesus. "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, for those of us who have been around the church for a little while, what can we say about this passage that we haven't covered myriad times? And so the goal, what I have in mind this morning is not to offer some new, intriguing insight into this passage necessarily, but to highlight a number of things from it, particularly that we learn from Nicodemus.
I'm not sure if some of you watched The Chosen, the series called The Chosen. It's on, often on YouTube or their own app and channel. They're up to season 6, which is the death of Jesus now, but the early episodes, Nicodemus was a key person in this. And the scene that they do portray in this, it's a great scene. It's really interesting to see how they portray Nicodemus in this series. And he then, as happens in John's Gospel, disappears off the scene. Series 3, 4, there was no Nicodemus. And then he appears again in season 5. More about that shortly. Nicodemus. John 3:16. So what? When did you first know about John 3:16? Like for me, it was a young fella, certainly within connecting with the church, but particularly one of the things about when I attended Boys Brigade way back, was learning memory verses, but verses from the Bible, and this was one of them. Was that the case for you? I don't know. Was any? When did people start first learning about John 3:16? Was it a memory? Was it one of those verses that you had to memorize? Yeah, Rosemary? Yeah. Yes, Dawn?
I didn't grow up in the church, so I didn't come across it until 16, 17,
yeah,
when I was that sort of age. Mm-hmm. And it was a very big deal because that was all to do with the Crusades that were going on, yep, and things like that. So it was definitely a verse that was important at that time,
yeah.
But I didn't know anything about it.
Okay. So Dawn didn't grow up in the church, so it was only about 16 or 17 when she first became aware of that, particularly in the days of, like, that'd be the Billy Graham Crusades, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Yeah. When you watch the Olympics, whether it be winter or summer, at times you would have seen in the background someone holding up John 3:16. It was just like I remember watching the Winter Olympics one year, going back, and there was someone on the downhill, and they would strategically get in front of the camera. So as the downhill skier went by, there was John 3:16 in the background, and it was done quite strategically. This conversation with Nicodemus is only recorded in John's. Nicodemus three times in John's Gospel. This is the first time. And it says that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He would have been a member of the Sanhedrin. So straight away, we know that Nicodemus is a teacher of the law of Moses. We know that he is very learned. So he's a pretty smart cookie, Nicodemus. Okay, so he would have been well-studied, very learned man. And a third thing that we know is that he would have been old, okay, that has been part of the Sanhedrin Pharisee, and that he would have been an older man. He knew his stuff. He knew his stuff. Now, the Pharisees had heard or seen some of the things that Jesus was saying and doing, and for Nicodemus, rather than hardening him, as that did with many of the Pharisees, It makes him inquisitive. Things confused him, puzzled him. And although he was a great scholar, and possibly because of his great desire to know more and more of God, and in a way this is how it's portrayed in The Chosen, as Nicodemus being curious and thinking, well, if this is something really of God, I need to know more. I need to know more. He comes to the conclusion that the picture was still missing something, some vital pieces, and he comes to Jesus hoping he may come closer to finding what that is. And he comes at night. He comes at night. Nicodemus comes out of the darkness into the light and meets with Jesus. And what we discover in the Gospel of John is that here in John 3, Nicodemus does that physically. He moves
out of the darkness into the light as he meets with Jesus. But we discover later on that he moves spiritually from darkness to light. Darkness to light. He says to Jesus, Rabbi, as in teacher, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Okay, it's an extraordinary statement for Nicodemus to make right there and then. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus says to him, and I'll kind of attempt to paraphrase the next few verses. Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born a second time. You have to be born from above. You have to be born in a new way. As far as spiritual things go, you have to have a new beginning. A new beginning. You have to go back to square one, Nicodemus. Which for a Pharisee was an extraordinary thing to say. All of his learnings and everything that he had done, Jesus says to him, you have to go back to square one, Nicodemus. It's as if Jesus says to him, the miraculous signs that you see me do, they're not the most important thing, Nicodemus. The important thing is this new heart, or a new birth, as he talks about, a new birth, to step out of darkness into light. And what follows is this conversation where we hear less from Nicodemus and we hear more from Jesus. Over the next couple of weeks, as we hear the gospel reading when Jesus meets with a Samaritan woman at the well and as he heals a blind man, it's really interesting to see how the different approach that Jesus takes. As he meets with Nicodemus, it's different than what he does with the Samaritan woman at the well. Here, we hear more and more of Jesus and less of Nicodemus, as Jesus means. And one of the great dilemmas that we discover in life is that we want to be changed people, but we realise that we really struggle to do that ourselves. That's part of Nicodemus's dilemma. Okay, he sees Jesus as a teacher. And Jesus basically says to him, you need more than a teacher, Nicodemus. You need a saviour. If you see me as a teacher, that's not it. And this is what Jesus goes on to say to him. And he does that by telling this very curious story tucked away in Numbers chapter 21. Jesus says to Nicodemus, and of course, Nicodemus, a student of the Torah, okay, the law of Moses, and Nicodemus would know this story very, very well. Time when the Israelites, after complaining in the wilderness, so they've come out of Egypt, complaining in the wilderness, and they're being bitten by venomous snakes. The Lord instructs Moses to make this bronze serpent, to put it on a pole, and anyone who looks at it, it's to be lifted up, anyone who looks at it will live. It's a bit of a curious story for Jesus to tell Nicodemus. Anyone who looks at this that is lifted up will live. There's two other places that we meet Nicodemus in John's Gospel. One is in John chapter 7, when there's this meeting of the council, when the Pharisees are meeting together. The temple police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why did you not arrest him? As in, why did you not arrest Jesus? This is John 7. They answered, never has anyone spoken like this. Then the Pharisees replied, surely you have not been deceived too, have you? Has any one of the authorities of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and who was one of them, asked, "Our Lord does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they're doing, does it?" I.e., we shouldn't be judging this man without first hearing from him, without first listening to him. And this is one of the things that Jesus, in many ways, was asking of Nicodemus. Listen to what I'm saying to you, Nicodemus. You need to listen. Remember how we'd hear less and less from Nicodemus and more from Jesus? Nicodemus needs to listen. And so, a few chapters later, we hear Nicodemus saying, surely we're not going to judge this man before we listen to him. That's the second place that we meet Nicodemus in John's Gospel. The third place is after the death of Jesus. So Jesus has died on the cross, and then in John chapter 19, verse 38, we read this. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, wrapped it with spices in linen cloths, according to the burial. That's the third place we hear Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, who at first came from darkness to meet with Jesus in the light. Now, this is extraordinary that these two would do this. As members of the Sanhedrin, all of them were expected to observe the Torah, particularly the purity laws, exactly and strictly. Especially for priests, those restrictions were even stricter. Okay. So touching a dead body for any Jewish person meant that they would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. But for someone within the Sanhedrin to do that means that they would be ceremonially impure and unable to do these kind of things, albeit temporarily. But remember, this is the Passover. This is the time of the Passover. So anyone within the Sanhedrin who touched a dead body would not be able to participate in temple worship, make rulings, attend festivals. This is Passover. Or join in public religious function kind of things. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus in John chapter 14 take down the dead body of Jesus and wrap him in cloths and place him in a tomb. How extraordinary. Now, what that shows us is that Nicodemus had moved from darkness to light. Nicodemus had seen the Son of Man lifted up, and he lived. He lived. Just as that reference, so it's not, it wasn't just some random text from the Torah that Jesus told him. But here, all those possibly years later, Nicodemus sees the Son of Man being lifted up. And it brings him life. It brings him a new start, a new beginning. So much so that he becomes ceremonially impure by bringing the body of Jesus and laying it in a tomb. This is one of the stories that we hear on our way to Lent. We hear of Jesus meeting a woman at the well. We hear of Jesus healing a blind man. But here we hear of a great teacher of Israel who moves from darkness into light as he meets Jesus and has a new beginning. We pray. Lord our God, we thank you. We thank you for passages such as this one. There is so much, Lord, in these verses of John 3. Help us as we reflect on them, that you will draw us closer to you. As we reflect on the way that you loved this world which at times, in fact oftentimes, is so despairing and frustrating and so hard to love. You loved this world and us as a part of that, that Jesus came amidst and among us. Thank you that in him you have restored us to you, that as we look to him and as we move towards Easter and see him lifted up, that in him we have life. And that we can confidently move into this day and the days ahead in the new life that he brings us as we pray in his name. Amen. We sing the first two verses only at this point of Jesus calls us over the tumult, and as we sing, our offering will be received. Jesus calls us over the tumult. We pray. Lord God, as we reflect on these gospel passages, we see that you have given so much to us. Indeed, your only Son. Please bless what we bring this day, and may it be a part of the furthering of your kingdom in this place and indeed across this world. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. We bow in prayer to you, O God, to ask you to steady our hearts, to meet bravely whatever comes. You remain our security, our rock, our peace and comfort. Grant that come what may, our faith will not falter. As we try to become the best we can be, help us to be grateful, patient. Give us strength and peace. Help us to accept others. Help us not to be judgmental because their way is different from ours. Help us to become closer to you, O God, with better understanding. We continue, O God, to pray for peace in our world. Pray that world leaders will show compassion and find ways to resolve the many conflicts and suffering that families can once again enjoy their lives without fear. We pray for all people in distress, those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, those who are sick in hospital, and those at home and in nursing homes. I pray for people suffering depression or loneliness and for those who are struggling to make ends meet. We ask that compassion and help be given to the homeless, especially as cooler weather approaches. We give thanks, O God, for all the blessings we have received. We thank you for this beautiful world. Remind us to leave it a better place for the future. We give thanks for family and friendships of the community here at Kenmore Uniting Church. Help us all to be attentive to the needs of each other. We thank you for the leadership of Reverend David. Keep him and his family well. O God, as we leave worship today, we pray that each of us will feel a sense of your nearness. Remind us to try to make life a little better for those we meet in the week ahead. Amen.
As we prepare for Holy Communion this morning, we sing the remaining verses, verses 3, 4, 5 of Jesus Calls Us. We stand to sing. Please be seated. As we come to the Lord's table, we come to an open table for those within the fellowship of Christ Church and who would want to love him more. As is normally the case here, the juice and the bread will be brought to you in your seat, where we'll wait until we have each received and we'll eat and drink together. If it's more appropriate for you to eat when you receive and drink when you receive, please know that that is perfectly fine to do so. This is the Lord's table. In this sacrament of his broken body and outpoured blood, the risen Lord feeds his people along the way. Along the way to the final inheritance of the kingdom. Through faith and the gift of the Spirit, we have communion with our Saviour. We make our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We proclaim the Lord's death. We grow together into Christ. We are strengthened for our participation, and we rejoice in the foretaste of the kingdom which he will bring to consummation. Lord, we come to your table trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. Feed us now that we may forever live in Christ and he in us. Amen. A prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Blessing and praise belong to you, gracious and eternal God. Through your living word, you created all things, the majesty of the heavens and the glory of the earth. In your wisdom and goodness, you have made all people in your image and likeness. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that in the fullness of time, you gave your only Son to share our human nature, to be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, to set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem, to be lifted high upon the cross that he might draw all creation to himself. When the hour of his glory came and loving his own to the end, he sat with them at supper. He took bread and after giving thanks to you, broke it, gave it his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. In obedience to his command, we recall his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and we look for his coming in glory. Send your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that we may know Christ's presence real and true. Unite us in love and peace with your people until with the whole company of heaven we are brought into the presence of your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ is the bread of life, food for restoration and for wholeness. Christ is the cup of hope, the wellspring of resurrection life. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. May we who share these gifts be found in Christ and Christ in us. Amen. We share now for... body of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. Blood of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Everlasting and merciful God, though our world is marked by need, in this moment we have glimpsed your kindness and longed for a more just and compassionate world. Even in a world torn by hurt and separation, here we've heard your invitation to live as a community that brings healing and hope. Though each day reminds us of our frailty, here we've been embraced by the depth of your grace. Send us out, O God, in faith, in hope, and in love. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, Now Let Us From This Table Rise. We stand to sing. Now, just before we go and have the benediction, Rosemary, you had a birthday yesterday, is that right? I had one yesterday. One of the amazing ministries that Rosemary offers is birthday cards and all sorts of other cards on occasions to people. And it's a beautiful gift that she has to do that. And I guess in some ways this is coming back at you today, Rosemary, for your birthday and just a brief prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the gifts of all within the life of this congregation, and we thank you for the way that Rosemary contributes and shares in that life in many ways. We thank you for her, particularly on the occasion of her birthday. Pray for your blessing to be upon her this day, and this week especially, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Happy birthday, Rosemary. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.